Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through chapter 3, verse 1. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Today's reading is from Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 3. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers, and in the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. During the fourth year of seminary formation, every seminarian needs to have a theological interview, a TI, before the faculty will certify a candidate for the office of the Holy Ministry. I remember my TI well. I walked through the rain after chapel to the assigned professor's office. It was dark and dreary, fitting for a TI with only a lamp on in the office. There, two faculty members sat, and across from them, an empty wooden chair. They welcomed me in, I took my place, and prepared myself for their questioning. They proceeded with this question. Well, more of a, I guess, a statement or request. Brian, tell us who Jesus is. Ha, I thought to myself, what a great start, and an easy question. I honestly don't recall how I started the response, but I remember talking and talking. I explained the hypostatic union and carefully demonstrated my knowledge of the genus Idiomaticum, the genus Miastaticum, and the genus Apotelismaticum. I went on for quite a while, I think, and as I talked, my professors nodded and just listened. And after a few moments of waxing theologically, I paused, because honestly, I had no clear way to end my explanation. I shifted uncomfortably and finally asked mid-sentence, who's asking me this question? They chuckled and said, well, just imagine that someone came off the street into your office as a pastor and asked you who Jesus was. I said, oh, great. Could I start over? Again, I cannot remember what I said. Evidently, my response was sufficient. But that question has stuck with me, and as has that experience. Having read the text appointed for today, I was struck by a question that is similar. Not so much on the identity of Jesus, but rather the purpose of the incarnation of Jesus. In other words, why is it important that the Son of God came in the flesh and not in some other way? Perhaps this is an obvious question or a strange one, but I think it's important nonetheless. In the throes of this digital age with automated everything and Zoom meetings constantly, we seem on a trajectory to be present or in the flesh as little as possible. And yet our reading in Hebrews lays out a few solid reasons or purposes for which God, in his infinite mercy, saw it fit to send his Son in the flesh, to be present. The answer is rather simple. The Son became incarnate for you and because of sin. But maybe more specifically from our text today, we might say one of the following reasons. The first purpose was, or is, to defeat your enemy. Jesus assumed the flesh so that he partook in the same things that you and I partake. The chief and final obstacle to all humanity is death. St. Paul writes in Romans 6, "For the wages of sin is death. And Christ came in the flesh so that he might deal with that which affects all flesh, death." Now, certainly Jesus didn't die because of his own sin, but as our substitute, enduring sin to take our punishment. St. Paul continues in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might know the righteousness of God." Our Lord Jesus, even at his birth, was presented with gifts pointing to, anticipating his eventual death. At the Jordan, his baptism inaugurated the ministry of the suffering servant, which culminates with his death on Good Friday. Jesus endured death to defeat death and the devil so that he could deliver all who suffer under the slavery of sin. The second purpose for which the Son becomes incarnate is to be your advocate to the Father. Verse 17 says that Jesus took on flesh to become a merciful and faithful high priest so that he mediates on our behalf before the Father. St. Paul says it in this way, "Christ Jesus, who God put forward as a propitiation by his blood," Romans 3, 24 and 25. St. John says it this way, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." 1 John 2. The Bible clearly states that no one is righteous, not even one. No one understands, as Paul says in Romans 3. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Sinners have nothing with which they can go before God. Your good works, like filthy rags. Your intellect, the breadth of your theological knowledge, insufficient. Before God, you are lacking. But the incarnation of the Son means that you have one who advocates for you. Moreover, his bodily death on the cross is substitutionary for you, because his good works are sufficient, and his knowledge of God is complete. His righteousness fulfills what the law demands, and that is credited to you who are lacking. His broken body and his innocent blood appeases God's wrath for your sin. So Jesus takes on flesh to advocate for you. And the third purpose I think this text brings forward is a pastoral one. It's to grant you comfort. Verse 18 notes that because Jesus suffered in his bodily life, he is able to help those who suffer temptation. In other words, it's not as if God is unaware of what you are enduring. He certainly knows in his omnipotence what you face each day. What I find truly comforting in this passage is that Jesus endured life in a sinful world as well. A shared experience, so to speak. The author to Hebrews states a little bit later in chapter 4, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet was without sin." He concludes this chapter, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." At risk of mixing metaphors, Jesus did not simply beckon us from the far shore to push through the struggles of this life. He is alongside of us in the midst of our struggles. Jesus does not just walk in front of us, leading us on to green pastures, though he does. He walks alongside of us through the deepest of valleys and the most dangerous of dangers. All this he does because the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. There are probably other good purposes and reasons for which the incarnation of Jesus took place. But the author of Hebrews lays out these three compelling purposes in the heart of our text. Why did the Word take on flesh? To defeat your enemy. To advocate for you to the Father. And to comfort you in all the ebbs and flows of this sinful existence. And let us not forget that the incarnate Son didn't cease to be in the flesh at his death. His body was raised to new life, and as we just celebrated last week, Jesus ascended into heaven, bodily, where he rules all things in heaven and on earth. And the incarnation and continued existence in the flesh means that your flesh matters too. Christ's incarnation is why your body is baptized. It's why you regularly eat and drink at the altar. Christ's bodily resurrection and ascension mean that your own flesh will be raised from the dead and ushered into the new heavens and the new earth on the last day. For as St. Paul says, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So who is Jesus? Well, we'll confess that beautiful truth in a moment. What was the purpose of Jesus' incarnation? Simple. The purpose is you. For you in the face of your enemies. For you as you stand before the Father with nothing to offer. And for you as you sojourn in this life. Thanks be to God that the Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And to him be all glory and honor until he returns again in the flesh. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.